Yehi.
Well, now, see, that's a good point. Let's start with that point. It's right after Proverbs. If you believe that some of the canonical order is at least theologically important, then you would want to note that this comes right after Proverbs in the Ketavim, and the only woman who is called an Eshekayil, this woman of virtue or valor, other than the Proverbs 31, 10 and following, would be Ruth. See? So Ruth would be an enfleshed example of this virtuous woman. So that might be one reason why it follows Proverbs. Who knows? Who knows? So why did he... Bimei Shefot HaShepatim. So it came to pass, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass in the days of, and here we have an infinitive construct that doesn't make a lot of sense, see? So we can't spend a lot of time on any of the details. I'll just point out the problems. in the days the judges judged, we might just turn that into a finite verb. But then it's a singular and not a plural verb. So anyway, what were those days? Roughly 1350 to 1020, if we take a 15th century date for the exile, or the exile, 15th century date for the Exodus, and then the conquest about, 40 years after that. So, this would be a period of anarchy, right? There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That would be the last verse of the book of Judges, in Judges 21. So, it happened by he Ra'av. So, Ra'av it may be a preaching point here. The whole pericope could be summarized in tragedy turned to triumph. So the whole thing begins with a famine. This is the way Abraham's life of faith begins, right? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, there was a famine. And we also have a famine that led Jacob and his sons to sojourn in Egypt. It's somewhat of a familiar theme, at least in the book of Genesis. And we may hear distant echoes there that what starts out to be a famine will end up with Yahweh's provision. You might have to be slaves for like a long time. You might have to sojourn and call your wife your sister for a while. But Yahweh will turn tragedy into triumph. So there is famine in the land, and there is an Ish, a man, walk from Beth Lechem. So it's somewhat ironic that he's in Beth Lechem, and there's no Lechem. See, although I learned about 25 years ago that it's probably not house of bread. Lechem may be some kind of a Canaanite deity. So I don't know, you're the Bethlehem expert. I don't know if you've ever... Horace Hummel kind of drilled that into us. Don't ever call it House of Bread.
Sounds good to me.
So it might be, because Beth, here by it might be a temple idea, a place of worship for this Lechem god. Okay. Of Yehuda. Lagur, infinitive construct from Gur, to be a legal resident alien, in the fields of Moab, he and his Ishto, his Ashit, his wife, and the two of his sons. Okay? The name of the man was Elimelech, which is, again, the irony is just all over the place. Here, my God is king. Well, if God is king, why is there a famine? And why do they have to leave? And why is this guy going to die? And why are his sons going to die? And Elimelech is going to be left with not only descendants in the first generation, but the second generation, So what kind of a king is this that's going to let his people go hungry and die? And the name of his wife, Naomi, pleasant one, And Vashem Shene Benal, in the name of his the two of his sons, Machlon, the simple triliteral root of Chet Lamed Nun means to be sick or diseased, okay? And then Kaf Lamed Hay, the next guy, Kilion, means to be finished. See, so the names in Ruth might be carrying a little bit more than just regular names like Jeff Ray. So the sick one and the finished one, these people do not have a hope in the future. They're Ephrathites. See, not from Ephraim, they're Ephrathites. The head guy of the clan of Ephrathah, okay, from, you know, this is Micah 5, right? What, Matthew chapter 2, yes. So the Ephrathites, with Caleb as the clan leader, this was probably a fairly prominent clan, see? And it's kind of like the Vanderbilts are now on food stamps, you see? So this is going from high to low. And now they're in the fields of Moab, from Bethlehem of Yehudah. And they came to the fields of Moab, and they were there. Well, Elimelech dies, see? So what kind of a god is this, see, who lets this guy die? And the wife of Naomi, in this next verb, Vetishair, that's a Nifal, right? Vav consecutive imperfect, third feminine singular in the context. This is Nifal based, so it doesn't have any kind of passive, medial passive, or reflexive sense here. And she was left, see, Sha'ar, like Sha'ar Yashub, which appears the first time in the Bible in Isaiah 7, verse 3, one of Isaiah's sons. So, here, and there was, and she was left, okay, and the two of her sons. So, verse 4, so they lifted up from Nassah for themselves, kind of odd, normally Yalakak, the Nashim, or the Isha, but you know, you take a wife. Here you lift up a wife. Moabite women. The name of the first was Ophrah. Oprah Winfrey was named after that, but her parents didn't know the Hebrew Bible well enough. That's a true story. It won't preach, though. It probably means something like stiff-necked, see? And the name of the second was Ruth. Now, quite often you hear sermons, Ruth means faithfulness. No, it doesn't. It just doesn't, okay? It's not from Emmet or Emunah. See, I mean, it's just not even close. So the best way to understand this would be to look at Psalm 23, verse 5, where David says, "My cup runneth over." There you have the resh and the vav here. It means to be saturated, full, running over, that kind of idea. It really doesn't mean faithful. Okay. Now, this next part is important. And they yashav there, ke'eser shanim, about probably 10 years. Now, what happened to Ruth and Orpah? They didn't have any children. See, we're assuming that they're barren. They're akara, which is a loaded theological word, beginning in Genesis 11:30. So let's see what's happened. There's famine. Elimelech dies. They've misnamed the sons because now they're going to get sick and die. And they've stayed here for a long time. There's been no birthing of children. So now, verse 5, even the two of them died, Mahlon and Chilion. Well, we couldn't have, you know, thought anything else. And the woman was left. And here this Mishene Yeladeha, that would be a privative men. See, without, see, the two of her children, and without another privative men here, and without her man, her husband. So now the famine, the emptiness has really come full circle for Naomi. She left with nothing, and now she's got nothing, and it appears she's going to return with nothing. Verse 6, so she arose, and her daughters-in-law, the Kaloteha, and she returns. Shuv, prominent word in the first chapter, occurs 13 times. And she returns from the fields of Moab because Shema, she heard, called perfect third feminine singer from Shema, she heard in the fields of Moab that, here it is, Yahweh appears. Indeed, probably a serenity, indeed Yahweh Pakad. Now Pakad can almost be understood as a law gospel kind of term. Yahweh can pakad you and annihilate you, or he can pakad you and give you grace and mercy. In this sense, pakad is good. So, you know, Mary in Luke 1 says, you know, God has visited his people. See, same idea. That would be a good use, gospel use of Pekah. So Yahweh Pekahed, he appeared with grace to his Amo, his people, to give to them lechem bread. Moving on, verse 7. So she went out from the place, that's Naomi, from Yetzah, and where she was there, and the two of her daughters-in-law, Imah, with her. And they walked in the way. To return Lashuv to the land of Yehudah. Naomi said, and here we probably are going to slow down a little bit because now we finally have conversation going, direct quotes. There are like 70 verses in the book of Ruth and 55 are direct quotes. So there's a lot of conversation going on in the book, and this would be the first conversation. So Naomi said to the two of her daughters-in-law, Lekana. Okay, so that's from Halak. Call imperative. Feminine plural, right? There's all these feminine forms. Shovana, and that's from Shuv. Same parsing. Call imperative, feminine plural. So go, return, each of you. See? This word is used idiomatically. Normally, you know, ishaz, you know, a woman, but here, just like ish functions, like for each man, idiomatically, here that's how this is functioning. To the house of her mother, alright, which is a little bit odd, but we won't get detracted there. Normally you go to the house of the father. And here, we would read the K-ray, what is out in the margin, rather than the Kethiv, although it really doesn't matter too much. But Yahweh, it does matter a lot, because here it's in a volative form, actually, more specifically, adjacent. Let, so if you just have Yod, Ayin, Shin, let or may Yahweh do imakim with you chesed, which is a major word in the book, loyal love, just as asitem you have done with ha-metim, the dead ones, Elimelech, Malan, and Kilian, and with me. And she continues with this idea of a Joseph, and let Yahweh give, yeah, Yitain Yahweh, to you, and you will find menukah, that's rest, security, everything that would be indicative of a good life. Each of you to the house of her man, apparently, her husband. See, so go home, or may Yahweh give to you, and you will find rest, each of you, in the house of Yor, but I know it's a third feminine singular pronominal suffix, but it's understood to be your husband. And she kissed them, Shekah, Shin, Kaf, Hey, and she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and they wept. That would be Orpah and Ruth. And verse 10, and they said to her, indeed, a separate of key, indeed, Imak with you, Nashuv le'ameka, or le'amek. Indeed, with you, we will return to your people. So they both start out this way, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi said, verse 11, again, the same imperative here, Shovena from Shuv, return my daughters. Why, Lama Te Lakna, why will you walk, again from Halak, with me? Here's a hey interrogative. Ha'od li banim, then may I. Is there still to me children in my, we'd expect beten or rechem, or those are usually the words for womb, but kind of in my stomach parts. She's not premenopausal, she's postmenopausal, okay, which makes her all the more attractive, at least in my book. Going on. Okay. All right. And there will become for you, what's that now?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. I live with a premenopausal wife. She's delightful, but she's premenopausal. So I better stop while I'm completely behind.
Exactly. You're very much.
Yeah,
very,
right. Very behind. Okay. And there will be for you, okay, Anashim, men. See? So go where the men is. Go where the hunka burning loves are. They aren't with me. Okay? And she again, this is the third imperative. Return my daughters. Okay? Therefore, I'm sorry, this is actually an imperative from Halak. We're missing the final hey there. But we do have the form earlier. So go, indeed, Zakanti, I am a Zokane, I'm an old one, from to be with an ish, with a man, with a husband. Here's a concessive key. We have a severative, so here's a concessive. If, okay, Amarti, I said there is to me tikva hope. See, again, she's postmenopausal, there's no hope, okay? So, I mean, that's kind of the tragedy again. And the triumph is she's actually going to have offspring that will finally end up with the last word in the book, David. But anyway, she's saying, you know, even if I said there's to me hope, even I was Halila tonight, Lahish with a man. See, okay, you can figure out what she means, what's going to happen in that night with a man. And even the Gam Yalati Vanim, and even if I bore sons, verse 13, hey interrogative, would to them, okay, you, here's a Saber, not Shaber, which means the break, annihilated, appeal, but this probably means hope. Would to them you hope, okay, until which Yigdalu, until which they would grow up, become great, see, from Gadol. Would to them Te'agena. So this is a very rare verb. It's pointed as a nifal. Kind of deprive yourselves, see. Would for them you deprive yourselves, bilti only negates infinitive construct, so the next verb is infinitive construct from Hayah. So would for them you deprive yourselves not to be with a man. So no, all Benotai, my daughters. Indeed, a separate key, indeed, mar to me. So, And she's going to, this doesn't happen in this pericope, but she's going to change her name from Naomi to Mara. Mara means bitter. Indeed, bitter for me, greatly, comparative men, more than you. See, because you're not postmenopausal. Okay, you can still have a family. I mean, a great shame and disgrace. There's no life for Naomi. She has no children. She has no hope of grandchildren. See? So, more than you, because, oh my, Yahweh, the hand, the power of Yahweh has gone out, that's in a severative faith there, against me. Okay, well, we move on rather quickly. Ruth and Orpah will lift up their voice and cry again. But Orpah, see, we probably take that va to shock as a disjunctive va. But Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth, dove ka va. Ruth clung, bound herself to her. So this word first appears in Genesis 2:24, where a man will leave his husband, or a man will leave, I'm trying to go too fast, slow down. A man will leave his father and mother and what? Devak. Cling to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is actually the basis for my sermon in 2 weeks at Concordia Seminary, because the word appears again in Jeremiah 13:11, where Yahweh says he debocks the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He clings to them, just like a loincloth clings to a person. Okay, well, so a very strong word. The two are becoming one, almost, to go back to Genesis 2:24. So, she said, behold, so she's, she being Naomi talking to Ruth, behold, return, okay, after your sister-in-law, okay, to your people and to your God. Return after your sister-in-law. Verse 16. Ruth said, see, don't pressure me. Okay, now this means to meet or encounter, but here the commentaries say, pagah, imperative, you see that with the all. Don't pressure against me to abandon you, to return from after you. Indeed, and here's the famous, wedding line, but of course it's two women, but I guess you can preach this in a general sense. Indeed, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge from lean, I will lodge, your people, my people, your God, my God, okay. Verse 17, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So she covers, look what Ruth covers. She covers geography, wherever you go, I'll go, wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. She covers theology, your people will be my people, your God, my God. And she covers chronology, see, the rest of her life, see. So it's a huge debacking on her part. Thus, and here's this very familiar curse formula, may Yahweh do to me and even add. Now, so she's a Yahwist. If she's going to make her confession by the name of her God. So this is a very important point. May Yahweh do to me and indeed Yosef and add if, see, concessive key, if the death separates me from you. So verse 18. So Naomi saw ki mitzah metzet. Okay, hithmael participle of aleph main tzadeh. So very kind of colorful. She's very strong-willed. Okay, Amaziah means Yahweh's my strength, etc. So when Naomi saw that Ruth was very strong-willed in herself, see, Hithpael, okay, to walk with her, she stopped to speak to her. She's, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Verse 19. So that they walk, the two of them, until to go, this is infinitive construct, to Beth Lechem. And they were, another infinite cause, right? And it happened when they were walking to Bethlehem. There was a stir, all the city upon them. And they said, is this Naomi? Well, they hadn't seen her in at least 10 years. Okay. And she was post-menopausal. All right. So how are you going to preach this? From tragedy to triumph. See, you have to go through the rest of the narrative. But the famine, the death, the anguish, the bitterness, all leads to the birth of King David. And there's your jumping off point to the King David, Messiah. And there we go to our New Testament editor of the Concordia Commentary series.